Texaco service stations and dealers from coast to coast present the Fire Chief Double Quartet. Don Voorhees and the Fire Chief Band. Graham McNamee. And Edwin the Perfect Fool.
Well, I'm the chief again. The program's going to be different tonight, I swear to you.
Say, you're a little late tonight, Chief.
Well, I couldn't help it, Graham. I had a dress, didn't I?
Well, how long did it take you to dress, Chief?
Oh, I dressed about 10 minutes, Graham.
Well, it takes me 20 minutes, Chief, but I wash.
Oh, you wash. I send mine out, Graham.
Well, what have you been doing since I saw you last Tuesday, Chief?
Oh, I've been on my farm, Graham, raising goats. I'm raising goats now without horns.
Without horns? What?
Oh, well, there are no butts, Graham. I just told you there were no horns either.
I see.
Say, Graham, one thing I want to ask you. Is your rheumatism bothering you tonight?
No, Chief, why?
Oh, I'm sorry, Graham. We need rain for our crops, you know, and the flowers. I've got to go to Washington on account of the flowers tonight.
What are you going to Washington for, Chief?
Oh, I've got to see the Secretary of Agriculture.
Why do you want to see the Secretary of Agriculture?
Well, I'll tell you truthfully, Graham. One of my geraniums is not doing so well.
But Chief, you love your farm, don't you?
Oh, I love the farm. Oh, yes, I've got a wonderful cow, Graham.
Yeah?
It stutters. Huh. The cow stutters so much. Instead of milk, it gives butter.
Well, that's one thing that interests me about a farm, Chief.
Yes?
How do you keep cream from souring?
Well, the best way, Graham, to keep cream from souring is to leave it in the cow.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's no use talking to you, Chief. What's the music?
Well, I'll tell you, Graham. Speaking of farm and flowers, I thought I'd have Don play the new flower song about that beautiful flower called a petunia,
yeah.
You know? The name of the song is Petunia All Gray Bonnet.
If you'll get a car...
Oh, now, Graham, I don't want a car. My goodness, how often have I told you that?
Well?
I was knocked down once by a car.
I didn't know that, Chief. Were you badly hurt?
Oh, well, not as bad as my lawyer, Graham.
Oh, was he hit, too?
No, Graham, my lawyer wasn't hit. I was alone when I was hit by the car.
Oh.
You see, I sued the company for $2,000, and I won the case.
Yeah.
But I know my lawyer was paid worse than I was, Graham.
Mm-hmm.
Because I only got $500. My lawyer must have been nearly killed. He got the other $1,500. I was with my uncle in his car yesterday, and we went to a small town, Graham. It must have been a swell town. They even had signs on the road to tell you how to eat when you got into town.
What do you mean, Chief? What do you mean?
Well, I saw a sign that said, good thing, see, 300 feet ahead. Then there was another sign that said, use the right fork.
Chief, anything interesting happened?
Oh, yes. He let me drive the car for a few minutes, and I hit a man and I knocked him down. and the policeman gave me a ticket, Graham.
Well, you don't have to worry about that, Chief. You once told me you had a friend who could smooth things over any time you got a ticket.
Well, that's the terrible part of the whole thing, Graham. The fellow I knocked over is the fellow who used to fix the tickets for that boy. Oh, terrible. Don, will you play the new automobile song? The name of it is The Knock and the Piston Strike 2.
Oh, still afraid of sirens, are you? I suppose you're still riding your horse.
Well, no, not yet. Yesterday I rode in my uncle's automobile. I just told you. Yep. It's 12 horsepower, Graham.
What are you talking about, Chief? 12 horsepower.
Well, I ought to know. I lifted up the hood myself, Graham. I caught the automobile immediately after the door knocked him down. This small auto ran right over him. He was so excited. What do you think he said to me, Graham?
What?
He said, "That dog didn't hate me, but the tin can that was tied to the dog's tail nearly killed me." you, this was... I didn't intend this for tonight, but that gasoline got me, you know. I'll tell you. Tonight's opera is Gilbert and Sullivan's opera, trial by jury.
Oh, that's a fine
opera.
Oh,
it's the only divorce opera ever written in the world. The heroine of the opera, Graham, was born in Pope 180 at all. She was so fat, listen to this, Greg.
I will.
She was so fat that the night she was born, four storks dropped dead. Well, as the kite arrived, Graham, her husband entered. He is a young American and very patriotic.
Yeah.
He only drinks government alcohol. Well, he has no front teeth at all. How do you think he lost them, Graham?
I don't know.
He lost them trying to take a drink out of a flask while falling down a flight of stairs. And his hair, this is very unusual, this scene. It seems the husband's hair is long and bushy, and he has a wooden leg. And that's one of the reasons why the husband always fights with his wife. The husband's hair is so bushy, and this wooden leg, you know.
Yeah.
His wife keeps picking him up and using him for a mop. So, they sit down to eat in the fight scene. And the wife says, will you have a stuffed olive? And the husband says, what's that? And the wife says, a stuffed olive? You don't know what that is? Why, a stuffed olive is a pickle with a tail light. That one, isn't it? So the husband jumps up and says, oh, that's settled. I'm going out to eat. And the wife says, well, aren't you still my husband? Or are you going around with another woman? And the husband says, yes. That's a one. The wife says, aha, I smell a rat. And he says, well, don't get personal. Graham, you'll be hysterical in a few seconds.
I know it.
This gets the wife angry. So she says, the trouble is that you don't appreciate things. You don't know which side of your bread is buttered on. What do you think the husband says?
What do you say, Chief?
He says, what difference does that make? I eat both sides. No! That starts a real fight. And the husband says, look what's happened to our married life. You always eat crackers and bits. What's the result? I go to work early every morning. What happens? I get out of bed with a crack of dawn, and every night I get into bed with a crack of dawn. He says, and I'm cured. I'm through. I'm going to get a divorce. He says to his wife, you're too fat and you won't diet. He says, you won't get thin, so I'll get sick with somebody else. Play the guitar. In the second act of the opera,
yeah,
it happens in the great peace town, Reno. Now, the divorce judge is at lunch. He is an eccentric old man, and as the curtain rises, we find him eating spaghetti with a comb. On the judge's way out, he buys four cigars from the waiter. And he says to the waiter, it's a shame, you know that? I keep sitting on my cigars and breaking them all the time. And the waiter says, well, why don't you carry them in your vest? And the judge said, that's the trouble. I do keep them in my vest. But my wife used my vest to patch the seat of my pants. So, the divorce trial opens. The first case is the divorce of the couple from the first act, you know.
Yeah.
The judge says to the husband, why do you want a divorce? I've heard of your wife, and I know of the wonderful reputation for cooking sea bears. The husband says, well, I never eat sea bears. Oh, I love that part of the opera.
Go on, please.
Well, the judge says, well, did you ever try to make your wife happy? Did you ever bring her any presents? And the husband says, yes. I once brought her a lap dog, but she took it as an insult. It seems she was so fat she didn't have any laps. Wait, Graham, you'll fall right flat in a minute.
All right, go ahead, please.
The judge says that reminds me of a joke. Where does your lap go to when you stand up? When you hear this, Graham? The husband says, oh, that's easy. When you get up, your lap. Your lap sneaks around the back and shows up under an assumed name.
That's
so cheap. No! Yeah. Yes, sir. The judge says to the wife, and he says, what have you to say about the divorce? And the wife says, well, in the first place, Your Honor, whenever I drive the car, my husband is so thin, I mistake his knees for the gear shift. And she also says, Judge, once a thief stole our car, but my husband didn't report it to the police. He didn't report it to the police because I was in the car when it was stolen. And here's the finish. She says, now I want to sue my husband for non-support. She does, and she gets it. Play that. In the third act, the couple are separated but very unhappy. He is now in the junk business, and we find him stealing down in the dump. Well, he goes to the doctor, and he says to the doctor, have I long to live? The doctor says, you're all right. Don't you worry about having a long time to live. But don't start reading any continued stories. That, to me, is brilliant. Well, in the meantime, the wife has been dieting. She is now as slim as a 1932 bankroll. She writes her husband a letter. She says in her letter, conditions have been terrible with me, dear, till I got a job as a dishwasher in the restaurant. And immediately, things began to break. Did you get that, Greg?
Yeah, go on,
well,
please.
And she continues. She says, now I have my own little house in the suburbs. It's only a stone's throw from the station. And the real estate man says, as soon as they throw enough stones, he'll have the station. And she finishes the letter by saying, what's new with you? No! The husband writes back. He says, when we parted, I went west on a sheep ranch. One day, I was caught in a stampede of sheep, and that was once I nearly died in the wool. Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Don't hit me yet.
Go ahead.
He says in the letter, you wouldn't know me. Not long ago, I pulled the cork out of a bottle of hair tonic with my teeth, and 2 days later, I had a mustache. He continues in the letter. He says, my friends tell me I look very doggy. Sort of debonair, Dale. Well, we have been acting, he said the letter. We've been acting like a couple of monkeys. We really should fix things up. We should be like we used to be. Let's be baboon companions. Well, they meet. And the wife says, what a funny suit you have on, dear. Your shirt is showing. Why, your vest is 4 inches above your trousers. What's the idea? And he says, well, that's my tailor's fault. My tailor says, pants is pants. And best is best, and never the twain shall meet. So, they decide to remarry. And here's a very strange thing. They never knew what real happiness was until they got married again. And then it was too late. Play that.
Thank you.
them letters.
They've just simply got to be answered. Let's get to them.
All right.
Here's one from Sioux City, Iowa.
Yes.
Dear Chief, I met a young lady and like her very much. I have already taken her to a dance, to a moving picture show, and drove her right to her door in a taxi cab. Do you think the next time I see her, I should kiss her? Signed, Puppy Love.
Dear Puppy Love, you've had her to a dance and a movie and for a taxi ride. By no means kiss her. You've done enough for her already.
Well, here's one from Pueblo, Colorado.
Yes.
Dear Chief, I am a schoolboy, 11 years old. I asked my teacher if hippopotamuses have children. And the teacher says yes. Is this true?
Signed, Zuzu.
Dear Zuzu, your teacher is wrong.
Hippopotamuses cannot have children.
All they can have is little hippopotamuses. Well, here's one from Foxborough, Massachusetts.
Yes.
Oh, Chief, go ahead. Read this yourself.
Oh, this one says, Dear Chief, you are so bright, I'd
like you to answer this one. Everybody knows that missionaries go to heaven and the cannibals go to the other place. But what I want to know is this. What happens when the missionary is inside the cannibal? Oh, I'll answer that later. Many motorists write to the Texas Company commenting on the courtesies extended to them on the road by Texaco truck operators. It's a pleasant surprise to have a Texaco truck operator stop on the road and offer assistance in changing a tire or putting on skid chains. Such courtesy is not unusual with Texaco employees. It is a definite policy of the Texaco Company. Its employees must at all times render such assistance and help to motorists as is possible. In the instructions issued to all employees, this rule of courtesy is given first place. That's why no Texaco truck operator is ever a road hog. On signal, the operator pulls over and allows all faster-moving vehicles to pass. For such courtesies on the road, no payment is ever accepted. All that any Texaco employee would ask is that you use Texaco product whenever possible. In the tank of your car, Texaco Fire Chief gasoline, first developed for fire engines, now yours at no extra price. In your crankcase, Texaco crack-proof motor oil, the heat and friction-defying lubricant, the ideal driving mate for Texaco Fire Chief gasoline. This week, the Texas Company presents over Coast to Coast Network, Edwin the Perfect Fool, supported by a cast of more than 50 artists, including Don Voorhees, the Fire Chief Double Quartet, and Graham McNamee. Louis A. Whitten, speaking for the Texas Company, extends its invitation for next Tuesday at the same hour. Whenever you hear the siren and bell, think of Texaco Fire Chief gasoline. The music on tonight's fire chief program included Lady of Spain, Eyes of Texas, Avalon, selections from Killboat, and Funiculi Funicular. This is the National Broadcasting Company. WEAF, New York.